From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Epistle to the Romans, sometimes referred to as the Charter of Evangelical Christianity. The Apostle Paul deals with two great themes in Romans, justification by faith in Christ and sanctification. In the course of the epistle, Paul combats the error of those who believed that once they were justified, they could live as they pleased. A truly saved person cannot think this way, because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to him. Paul emphasizes that God does not minimize man's sin, but that by his death on the cross, Christ satisfied the righteous penalty of God's law for all who believe in him. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue a message entitled, God's Way of Salvation. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The King's Highway. The text is Isaiah 35, verse 8. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The way of holiness is so straight and plain that the simplest minds cannot go astray if they constantly follow it. The worldly wise have many twists and turns, and yet they make terrible blunders and generally miss their end. Worldly policy is a poor, short-sighted thing, and when men choose it as their road, it leads them over dark mountains. Gracious minds know no better than to do as the Lord bids them, but this keeps them in the King's highway and under royal protection. Let the listener never for a moment attempt to help himself out of a difficulty by a falsehood or by a questionable act, but let him keep in the middle of the high road of truth and integrity, and he will be following the best possible course. In our lives, we must never practice circular sailing, nor dream of shuffling. Be just and fear not. Follow Jesus and heed no evil consequences. If the worst of ills could be avoided by wrongdoing, we should in the very attempt have fallen into an evil worse than any other ill could be. God's way must be the best way. Follow it, though men think you a fool, and you will be truly wise. Lord, lead thy servants in a plain path because of their enemies.
Amen.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
When it says, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, it's not speaking of God's attribute of righteousness. I can prove that very simply. Faith in the mere fact that God is just will never save anybody. Never once in Scripture does the Holy Spirit call us to believe that God is just and thereby we'll be saved. Oh, when you get saved, you do believe God is just. But the object of faith, saving faith, is not the attribute of divine justice. And so when it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, it is not speaking of the attribute of divine justice. It is speaking of the righteousness which is of God. It is a God righteousness as distinct from a man righteousness that is being spoken of. It is the righteousness which God provides. as the sole ground of acceptance with him for all his people. It is the righteousness, as chapter 5 makes very clear, it is the righteousness, specifically, of Christ's perfect obedience in his life and in his death, which is imputed freely or graciously made over to the account of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is what is meant by the term the righteousness of God. Now, in the verse there, having cleared that out of the way, in the verse that we have read, Romans 1:17, and the rest really of what we have read, there are some things that we have got to note. Let me take first the idea of the righteousness of God, this God righteousness. At first glimpse, people imagine that this is something that is set in contrast to man's sin. This God's righteousness is set over against man's sin. Well, that's true to an extent. But the great truth of Romans goes much further than that. The righteousness that is of God is set over against man's sin. But it's also set over in contrast to man's righteousness. You see, there's a great deal of spiritual pride in us all. It's very easy to look at certain kinds of sinners. Some of them are mentioned in Romans chapter 1. It's very easy to isolate the sodomites and then say, well, thank God I'm not as they are. The righteousness of God stands in contrast to their awful wickedness. But somehow or other we miss the conviction of our own sin. My friend, this book deals a death blow to the pride of man in all his own righteousness. It brings the self-righteous, self-satisfied religionist down into the dust, and it shows him to be as guilty, as unclean, as vile, and as fit for hell as the poor, wicked heathens who are mentioned in the first chapter. This God righteousness then stands against every attempt of man to make himself righteous in the sight of God. It's called God's righteousness because its source is in God. This is all of grace. One of my favorite texts in the Bible, I would strongly recommend, if you can't do what Luther said and learn this all word for word. Now, I have to say that I would find that difficult. I don't have many brains, so I would find that difficult. But I do think, you know, if we really set ourselves over the next year, we could learn it all word for word. And so if there's a lot of you who are willing to take on the challenge, you come and have a word with me and we'll get your name down and we'll see if we can do it together. I think it could be done. Our family did that with the book of Ephesians in the matter of a couple of months. And so I think we can do it with Romans. But if you can't get that far, at least here is one verse I want you never to forget. Get it off by heart. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being or having been justified freely. The word that is translated freely is elsewhere translated without a cause. That's a beautiful statement. When God looks for a cause in you or me to justify us, he finds none. There are various songs that stupid musicians sing, usually country and western characters And I heard one the other day, I forget what the nonsense was all about, except, "Lord, what did you see worthy in me?" And all this music going on, and all the beautiful strains. There was nothing wrong with the tune or anything else. It all sounded so beautiful. And this idiot up crooning before God, "What did you see worthy in me?" Absolutely nothing. Justified without anything in us to cause it. The source, the cause, is in our God Himself. He is the source of this justification. And it is therefore free to us. That's what this epistle majors on. It's free. Oh, it cost God everything, for it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is not without the payment of a price. It is with the payment of the greatest price that the exchequer of heaven could ever afford. But it is free to us. We don't work for it, either before, at, or after our conversion. We don't help along toward our justification. It is free. It is a gift bestowed by grace. Paul piles up the words, "We're justified freely by His grace." Free justification, righteousness that has its source in God. This righteousness satisfies God's attribute of righteousness or justice. We read that in 3:26. God is just even while He justifies the ungodly. You see, this great gospel, this great way of salvation, this righteousness of God does not in any way violate the nature of God. It does not do despite to the justice of God. It rather fully and absolutely satisfies it. First of all, it satisfies God's justice because it takes full note of man's sin. This is not a way of salvation that goes light on sin. Romans chapter 1 deals with the Gentile world, and it says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And I want you to get this very clearly, what the wrath of God is revealed against. There is a preaching of sin in our fundamental and evangelical pulpits today that is altogether too shallow. And sin is made merely acts of unrighteousness. And God is always merely reacting to what men do. This is the preaching of the day. But the apostle says the wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. That's the root. And unrighteousness, that's the fruit. It's interesting in this book of Romans that in a peculiar way and for a peculiar purpose that I'm not now going to try to expound, but the Apostle Paul deals with how the gospel treats two things. Now, they're very closely related things, but he shows how the gospel deals with our sins, plural. But then he goes on to show how the gospel deals with our sin, singular. You see, the wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. That's the root sin. And it's revealed against unrighteousness. That's the fruit sins. And the wrath of God is against both. This gospel, therefore, is not covering over man's sin in the sense of simply denying its existence or denying that it's as bad as other scriptures paint it. No, no. Romans 1 is every bit as devastating, and even more so in some ways, in its description and its denunciation of sin, as Isaiah chapter 1, where Isaiah speaks from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness. They're just wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that have neither been mollified nor bound up with ointment. It's a picture of a total depravity. Romans chapter 1 is just as plain and just as clear in its denunciation of sin. Let me tell you, my friend, God does not, understand this, God does not pardon sinners by going easy on their sin. The second reason I say this, salvation satisfies the justice of God, is because, taking full note of man's sin, the gospel tells how Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin. The propitiation of Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. What does that mean? That propitiation is a sacrifice to appease the wrath of a sin-hating God by bearing all the fury of that wrath. I've often quoted to you the words of the old-time preachers. I honestly couldn't tell you who originated the statement. It's always stuck with me as the simplest way of showing the absolute sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, you have pictures of Calvary. Morning and evening, and every special occasion, you have a lamb or a goat or a bullock, and they're placed upon the altar. And in Israel, the air was always thick with the reek of burning flesh. And every time you would visit the altar, something was inevitably true. What was it? Every time the fire consumed the sacrifice. But we come to Calvary, and the Lamb of God is stretched upon the altar, and the fire of the wrath of God burned in all its fury. This time, the sacrifice consumed the fire. Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God. That's why the apostle could say, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in Christ the fire of the wrath of God has burned itself out. There is no fire, no wrath. In Christ, He satisfied the justice of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.